Talk. We're going to be continuing our series on Ghislaine Maxwell.
Viewer discretion is advised.
Continue at your own risk. TNT Talk is not held responsible for any future occurrences with the outside world.
And remember, these are theories, not facts.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing day one of the trial. We're going to be taking this day by day. This episode won't be terribly long because day one is only a couple pages long. Some days are going to be a little bit longer with the episodes, depending on whatever happened at the trial that day. Some of them are going to be really short because some of them are only, you know, a couple sentences long. But this one is about medium
yeah,
size.
Yeah, medium's pretty good. Let me put my phone on airplane mode. Okay. Yeah. So it's going to be medium. The trial started on November 29th of 2021. So literally, what, 4 months ago? It was so recent. It was 4 months ago. We're in, April.
No, Taylor, that was longer than 4 months
ago. Nuh-uh.
It's like a year ago. What?
2021?
Are you okay? November 2021.
Why did I think you said May?
What? She said that
also, is a year also, ago. Also, Libby's here.
Hey guys.
Yeah, Lippy's here if anybody wanted to know.
Wait, November, December, January, February, March, April, May.
All right.
I meant.
No.
It's April.
No.
It's 5 months.
Okay.
It's been 5 months.
Okay. November 29th is, it was four months. 3 days.
Okay.
I can't do that.
So all right. Anyways, what I said 4 months ago, Nimrod's next to me 4 months ago. So. Let's go ahead and cut to the chase. So, the trial was not televised. Everybody knows that. We talked about how we got all of this information from journalists. They have a podcast called True and On. We're going to continuously shout them out because a lot of this information came from them, and they're super sick. They have kind of lame voices, but... not, like, lame, but, like, they're just, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could
not
go to
super,
sleep. I could go to sleep listening to it.
Not super enthusiastic.
Right, yeah. But they're very knowledgeable. And their podcast is good. Anyways, so the trial was not televised. So no cameras were allowed in the trial room. And all of the things, like all the pictures, there's no pictures. There's only sketches.
Which is so freaking sketchy to me. Literally sketchy. But it's so stupid
intended.
To me.
Yeah. So in the opening statement, this woman named Laura, she stated, she was the U.S. attorney. So she stated that Maxwell and Epstein began an intimate relationship in the 90s, and then they later broke up and remained best friends. Now, what you're going to find is that Epstein and Maxwell's relationship through this whole entire thing, nobody understands it. Nobody knows that they were together.
Business partners, partners in crime.
But partners in the bedroom, friends, nobody knows. They all insist, we're just friends. No, there's no way. So in developing their crimes together, they would get access to younger girls and they would gain their trust and then they would learn about their hopes and dreams and their families and then, you know, prey on them. It was terrible what they did. So they promised all of these girls that they would talk to and their families, like all of these things like money and like different stances in life. And made them all feel comfortable and safe with them. So, essentially, if you know the term grooming, these kids. Which, if you don't understand that, Tori, since you said, if you have a better explanation than I do of
for
the
grooming.
Word grooming.
I mean, that would explain it to me. Like, taking someone and being, just, like, all friendly with their family or with the kid.
Yeah, taking advantage.
Yeah.
Making somebody feel safe.
Oh, yeah. And knowing that you have other intentions.
Or Libby.
What were the ages of all these kids?
They were all underage. So,
clearly.
Like, under 18.
But, I mean, were they, like...
A lot of them were, like...
Some of them, one of them was 15.
Lot of them were, like, freshmen in high school.
Yeah, but the youngest one, I think, that I found was, like, 14 years old.
Yeah, they were all, like, 14 to 17.
They were young. And they, yeah, so they were essentially grooming these girls. The attorney explained that the first stage of starting the, quote, abuse was through massaging.
Mm-hmm.
So massaging was like a ruse to get the girls to touch Epstein as well as let him touch them without it being weird.
Yeah, they would, like, recruit the girls, like, literally off the street.
So he would, like, massage these girls, like, but it'd be, like, you know, around other people so it wouldn't feel weird. And, like, they would get used to him touching them. And then same thing, like, they would massage him because they'd be hired to.
They would, like, that Ghislaine would go out and find girls and be like, oh, we'll pay you X amount of money. You know, just come in an hour.
He's just so stressed. Yeah. He needs to be massaged. It's, yeah, it's terrible.
And then he would be...
So,
butt naked.
Maxwell is said to have helped find these girls, recruit them, manipulated them, and groomed them for abuse, which is why she's on trial. Because, I mean, obviously, Epstein is going to be brought up a lot through this case, but what Epstein's not on trial. Ghislaine is. Epstein's dead, but Ghislaine... Ghislaine is the one who is on trial here, except that she helped Epstein basically do all of these crimes that he did. So, yeah, she helped find them, recruit them, and manipulated them. The attorney explained that Maxwell and Epstein encouraged the girls to bring other girls as well, and when they would reward them with cash.
Ew. Referral money?
Yeah. So, like, they would, like, bring their friends, like, to the back of, like, where his, like, pool area was. They would, like, bring their friends. Yeah, they'd be like, oh, yeah, here's $500.
Come get this dude a massage for an hour.
That's insane. Can you imagine going to school and, like, being like, hey, like, do you want to go get some money? Like, I know this guy that will give me money. All we have to do is give him a massage. When you're 14 years old, like, yeah.
He's going to give me $500. My friend did it. Here's the proof.
Exactly. Ugh. It's icky. Yeah. It's also stated that Maxwell would call the girls for the massage, and then she would hand them cash afterwards. So what they would, she would, like, be like, hey, girl, Epstein really needs a massage. Give him the massage.
But it was obviously more than a massage.
Well, to him, yes, but at first it was just a massage.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, so, like, they would massage him, and she'd be like, oh, here's $300.
That's insane.
Yeah, I know. Because they were trying to get them used to touch, like, being in physical contact with him, which is disgusting. Building a
relation.
They literally, they were, like, this sounds so disgusting to say, but, like, they were, like crafting this. They were taking their time.
Yeah.
They were sitting there, and they were like, this is exactly how we need to do it. Planning it out, blueprint, all of it. It was terrible. So, this part of the trial is seriously what sent me into orbit. Okay. There's this thing called Terramar. We talked about it last week. Libby, it's this organization that Ghislaine Maxwell helped found about the ocean, to save the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really think that it was to save the ocean.
Probably not.
So it's called Terramar. And she was asked, are you a citizen of the United States? She said, yes. Are you also a citizen of England? She said, I am. Are you a citizen of any other land? She said, Terramar. All right. Obviously, Terramar is not a land. That's the organization that she has. So, even though she's Maxwell responded this way, even if she was trying to be funny, she was on trial. So, why would she say that? So, Terramar is a sustainable ocean plan where multiple countries would sign up to protect certain areas of the ocean. At least, that's what it was on paper. So, obviously, it's probably not that, considering what all goes on behind the scenes. But Jeffrey Epstein did approve funding for it, and the Clinton Foundation supported it.
Wow. Am I shocked? No.
The Clinton Foundation supporting it was the one thing that I was like, all right, so this was a joke.
Yeah.
The Clinton Foundation being involved in anything, I'm like, oh, okay, so that's not what that is.
So that's what I don't want to be a part of. Thanks.
Yeah. Despite its origins and accomplishments being a bit of a mystery, very powerful people have signed up to support it. So a lot of celebrities would be like, yes, Terramar, help the ocean. Literally nobody knows what they've done. Because they haven't. Because it's not for the ocean.
So is it like a secret
Probably place? Like a cult or something.
I don't know if it's a place or what. She was like, yeah, I'm part of Terramar. Like the land. That makes no sense. Like, why would you say that? Even if you were trying to joke. So a lot of, like, celebrities and, like, famous people, they have signed up to support it. Richard Branson, he tweeted in 2012, want to help save the ocean? Join us and become Terramar Project citizens.
citizens.
But that man that tweeted that also owns an island that is next to Epstein's.
Oh, okay. That's just wonderful news. I'm so happy about that.
And one of the founding sponsors for the International Center of Missing and Exploited Children is that man that tweeted about Terramar. What is that? That's disgusting. Maybe just took a baby bell outline and crafted it into an
outline?
Old... Or a...
The wax.
Yeah, whatever it is. It's the outline, too. But no, listen. All right. Seriously, this is crazy. Listen to me.
Okay.
Branson, that's that guy. He tweeted and was like, hey, you want to save the ocean? Da-da-da-da-da. He has an island right next to Epstein. He also is one of the founding sponsors for the International Center of Missing and Exploited Children. The International Center of Missing and Exploited Children. So he's one of the founders. He has an island right next to Epstein, and he supports the Terramar organization that is with Ghislaine Maxwell. And he helps the International Missing Children's Center.
Somebody seems like, what do they call it when there's like a like somebody on the inside? What do they call
it? A spy?
Something like that.
Like he's a double agent?
Yeah, he's like a double agent.
Undercover. That's... He's helping an organization that he's essentially feeding into as well, you know? Also, apparently the same guy who created the Terramar logo also created Obama's Hope and Change poster, too. So that's just something that I ended up including in my notes. Do with that what you want. So the official court document names that were released in the court document, we name dropping. Here we go. Kanye West went to the island.
Look, he's got mental issues.
Is anybody surprised by Kanye West even going? You know what I'm not surprised about is him doing that. And in the same year that all of this is, like, happening, like, when Jeffrey Epstein died was, what, like, 20... I want to say 17, 18 is when Epstein died, right?
Yeah.
Around 18? That time, like, a year and a half after that?
No, it was, like, 19... 20?
Okay, and it wasn't 20. Around that time, Kanye comes out with Jesus is King album. I just want to say that.
Jeffrey Epstein, he died in 2019.
Okay.
Yeah.
So around that time, Kanye West comes out with the Jesus is King album. He's like, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus.
Maybe he got scared. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. You know, like he came out and he's like, oh, I love Jesus. But he's on the documents that he went to the island.
Kanye's going through it right now.
He got split personality.
Also, Young Money. You know, like, Young Money on your songs when you hear Young Money in the beginning. That's like Nicki Minaj going Young Money all the time.
Young Moolah, babe.
Sony Entertainment.
I'm not surprised.
Sprint.
You know, gotta get that cell phone service out there.
Bro, I used to have Sprint. New York Police Department.
That's so... I remember reading all these names and just being like, what?
Prince Andrew.
Not surprised. Whoa. He's in a photo.
Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton?
Are you serious?
No way!
Wow!
Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Yep.
And there was more. One name, his name is Virgil Abloh. He was a prolific fashion designer.
He just died.
He did. Listen. Oh. So he was a fashion designer, and he styled stars like Kanye West and Kid Cudi. He died on November 28th to cancer.
Oh, I do remember this.
I just want to say that November 29th is when the trial started. He died one day before to cancer, which surprised the media and fans just one day before an official court document with his name on it came out. He died.
Mm.
Ugh.
Wow.
One day.
Coinky-dink?
And that's what I'm saying, like, Kanye West was like, I love Jesus! Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, these people are like, whoa, anyways! Like, they're trying to save their careers and or die. Ghislaine's lawyers have also been trying to block any documents from coming out that will have other people's involvements released because the lawyers insist that release of the documents would implicate hundreds of people, including celebrities and influential figures. But and they actually argue that it would cause a public frenzy.
Get over it. What hasn't caused a public frenzy? That.
Yep.
People need to know.
They do.
Yeah, so they can stop praising all these celebrities and they're like, I just love them so... Okay, well, guess what? They love children, so...
I know. It's that they're like, they're trying to protect pedophiles.
Yeah, like, no, exploit them.
They're saying, yeah, well, we can we please just keep those why?
Protect the children, not the freaking pedophiles.
What? And you know what? You know what? This is so sad to say, but it's true. If you released them, only people who actually care enough to look into it are going to see it.
I know. That's the terrible thing. Everybody else would just be like, oh, they released those documents. Okay, well, that's crazy. And they'd just turn the other cheek and not ever look at it.
Exactly. Well, that's what happens all the time now. And even with the Ghislaine Maxwell case, Omicron came out, like, during Ghislaine Maxwell's case, like, starting.
Mm-hmm.
Omicron, everybody was like, oh, my God.
I forgot that was a thing.
I did, too. Because nobody talks about it anymore. But don't you think it's funny that, like, that was heightened and then Ghislaine Maxwell's trial and nobody's talking about it?
Nobody was talking about it. Hide it.
That's the thing. Like, media tries to hide, like, media tries...
Sorry, we're just getting a little refresher.
The media tries to hide all of these, like, sex offenders and pedophiles from the public eye when they're literally right in front of us and nobody looks at it.
Yeah. Nothing's real anymore. I can't stand anything.
Agreed.
We're, like, in a simulation. We probably are. Okay, so I just looked over day two's notes, and it's literally just half a page, so we're just going to go over it.
Yeah.
Okay? Day two, really quickly. Epstein had a pilot of 30-plus years. His name was Larry Visosky. So the prosecution was talking to him. He was hired in 1991 in Columbus, Ohio, and he was asked to describe Ghislaine and her relationship with Epstein. He described her as Jeffrey's number two, and then he took it back. And he said, well, no, I meant in a house manager type of way.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as if, like, Ghislaine looked at him like, can you shut up?
No.
And so he took it back, and he described her as the manager of all the other house managers. So, like, whenever they would actually come into town and stay at the... You know, you like how you went on your honeymoon and you saw the house.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, did you see anybody out there?
They were, like, destroying it, weren't they?
Wait, what?
Like, when you were on your honeymoon and you went to his Palm Beach house.
Yeah, it was... There were fences that were, like, 10 feet high, and there was, like, there were bulldozers all over the place. The house wasn't even there. But it was just gone.
Jeez. Well, he described her as the manager of all house managers because, like, when they would come to the house, like, there were already other people working there all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of like how, you know, like, your mom goes out of town, but, like, you guys have a gardener. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they had that at Jeffrey Epstein's. Like, they had, like, people that were there still doing things.
Yeah.
And so when they came to town, Ghislaine Maxwell was, like, the one that was in charge.
Uh-huh.
He stated that she was the woman in charge of doing things, like, deciding the drinks on the airplanes and outfitting the airplane's interiors. So she, like, was the interior designer.
Wow, what a fancy lady.
The pilot also stressed that the relationship between Maxwell and Epstein was extremely complicated, and he told the courtroom that he flew Epstein approximately every 4 days for 10 years.
That's insane. Wow. Good. That didn't even get no... Think about that. Every 4 days, you're going to get on a plane. You are not getting no break.
He did that for 10 years consecutively.
How many points?
It was a private jet. It's a private jet.
How many flying points did he get?
He ain't on Delta. But he did work for him for 30 years. So for 10 of those years, every 4 days, he was traveling.
I wonder what he was doing for that.
What do you mean what he was doing? I know what he was doing.
No,
he was
Yeah. I mean, if it's every 4 days, that's probably where he was going or going to meet with other people.
Also... business. Epstein gifted this man, this pilot, 40 acres of land on Zorro Ranch in New Mexico, which is one of Epstein's properties, for him to build one of his own houses. So he was like, yo, like, you've been a really great pilot. Here's 40 acres on my land, and I want you to build a house.
Golly.
What?
Can somebody give me 40 acres?
40 acres. He also paid for his pilot's two daughters' high school and college tuition. They went to private high school, and he paid for that tuition and then paid for college tuition.
Good Lord.
And all of Epstein's cars are registered in that pilot's name. They were registered in that pilot's name.
That pilot Epstein's probably knew stuff.
Epstein's That's what I'm saying.
Car, he probably knew
Epstein's
stuff.
Cars were in Larry's name. Larry was his pilot.
He's suspicious.
And you know what? And he said he never thought of the cars as his cars, but he used them all the time.
He's suspicious.
That sounds like hush
Don't
money.
Don't be suspicious. That makes no sense. Why would you register every car in your pilot's name? Why would you not have any cars in your name?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand.
Probably because he doesn't want it to trace back to him where he's going and stuff. If people see him.
Oh, you're right. Oh, my gosh. So, in technicality, this man that he was doing all this stuff for was going to be the fallback had he not died.
Probably.
Was going to be the guy that went under for all of this. That's crazy. Okay, so the defense ends up asking the pilot. They said, you never saw any young girls under the age of 18 without family, right? And he said he never saw any unaccompanied minors. And he then is asked if he ever saw Jane, which is victim number one. There's three victims that we'll talk about in the cases, but Jane is the first one, and that's not her real name. She asked that she used a fake name.
Anonymous.
Jane is apparently famous. I have no idea who she really is, but she is apparently literally like a celebrity. That was abused by Jeffrey Epstein. He's asked if he ever met her, and he said he can only remember one time when Epstein brought her into the cockpit, and she was around 14 years old at the time. Oh. Listen to the way this pilot described her. This is how you know this pilot was in on it.
Mm-hmm.
He said he described her as a mature woman with piercing powder blue eyes, and he later was reminded that before the trial started, he mentioned how large her breasts were.
What?
Trying to insinuate that she looked of age.
Moment of silence.
No, that's words. What I'm saying. Like, you, that, what? And he's like, I'm innocent. You're going to talk to me about how large her breasts are and that she has piercing blue eyes?
And he has two teenage daughters.
Yep.
Ew.
Icky.
And she was 14 when he brought her in the cockpit, and that's what he was talking about. 14 years old.
I know she looked 14 too. I know she probably looked 14.
About another girl that looked over 18, Virginia Jeffrey, he says she looked of my category. That was his quote.
Gross. What does that even mean?
Of my category.
What is of my category? What? Children?
Yeah.
That's your category?
The pilot also states that Epstein always let him go anywhere on the plane with no hesitation, so there was nothing off limits to the pilot. The thing is this pilot knows more than whatever he let on in this case.
Yeah.
Clearly.
He was like Jeffrey's like right-hand man.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
He mentions that Ghislaine owned 1/4 of a share of a private jet also, and he also mentions Epstein's office on his plane was known as the Red Room.
That is terrifying.
Why would you call your office on an airplane the Red Room?
What do you think?
No, but I'm saying, like, without looking mischievous.
Because he ain't doing actual business deals. He's doing what he thinks is a business deal in his Red Room.
He's disgusting. He also mentions that there was a building at the edge of the island that used to have a gold dome that was a, quote, library. They asked him about the building. They were like, what was that? He was like, it was a library. What? Why would this man have a library on his private island?
Maybe he likes to read, you know, and it's free time.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe he likes to give the children books.
It's just really... Larry was also asked if he had ever thought that his daughters were in danger when they were around Ghislaine and Epstein when they were younger. And he said, no, we were never uncomfortable. Speaking for them. That's what I thought. I was like, you're speaking for your daughters, and your daughters should be on the stand and tell us. Were you ever uncomfortable?
Yeah.
Did anybody ever shoot you a text?
Or just, like, make you feel creepy at all?
And then they also asked, did either of your daughters give massages to Epstein? And he replied with no. So.
I feel like the...
And that was the end of day two.
I feel like if the pilot's in on it, I feel like it's like Jeffrey probably just viewed his kids as, like, off limits. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let's say.
Maybe.
Because that's what I mean. I don't know. And then because he probably had such a guilty conscience about it and obviously felt like a horrible person, I hope. That's probably why he wanted, like, girls that he didn't know who they were, like strangers.
Well, but he did know who they were by the time he was molesting them.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he didn't know their moms and dads.
Yeah, he did though.
Whose? Because all of them
no, that's what we were talking about earlier. Like, he didn't know them previously before he preyed on them.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, Virginia Roberts and stuff, like, he didn't know her family.
I'm I'm talking, well, all of these girls that, like, he, like, brought to his home, he was giving their parents money. And some of their parents knew what was going on, and they weren't talking about it because they were getting money. And because he preyed on families that were homeless. And he would give them money.
They would go to the poor community down in, like, South Florida. And go after those
And he would find girls that he thought were attractive. And, like, talk to their parents, and their parents were so desperate because they had no money, they had no home, and he was like, you know what? Like, let me take care of you. Let me do this and this and this and this and this, and I will give you all of this money. Mm-hmm. And so the parents were, like, sketched. Some of them, like, didn't know what was going on, but they were ignoring it because Jeffrey Epstein was giving them compensation. Golly. Because he sucked. He's horrible. Anyways, that concludes day one and day two of this horrible case that makes us all want to throw up every 2 seconds of our lives. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this episode of TNT Talk.
Make sure you give us a follow on Instagram and Facebook
at TNT Talk.
Also, feel free to email us with any suggestions on topics for future episodes
at TNT Talk Podcast at gmail.com.